Right. Let's look in the book of Genesis tonight. Genesis chapter 18. Now I'm going to use a worldly term here for just a second, just to get your mindset where I want you to be thinking tonight. And oftentimes you'll hear out in the world, the greater good, the greater good. Socialists like to use that term a little bit to try to get you away from your rights so somebody else can benefit from it. And they'll use that term, greater good, greater good. Well, I want to talk to you just about a few different things you might consider the greater good for just a second. Then that'll set you up for the sermon here tonight. One person might say in his own heart, the greatest good that I could possibly attain, the greatest good that I could possibly follow after, pursue after, would be pleasure. Another person might say the greatest good that I could possibly pursue, the greatest good that I could possibly go after, the greatest good I could possibly go after would be houses, money, land. Amen? Some people think that's the greatest thing. And then some people might even say that the greatest possible good to pursue after in this life would be to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the difference between those three things is judgment. If somebody buys cars like I do, you'd say he had bad judgment. Amen? I got bad judgment when it comes to cars. And what it is, I'll see one, I want it, and I'll get it before I even think about it. And that's bad. That'll hurt you. I don't recommend that. And so that's bad judgment. Amen? So somebody goes off and takes drugs, that's bad judgment. I'm talking about non-prescription drugs. You know, pleasure drugs, escapism drugs. You know what I'm talking about, cocaine and weed and all kinds of stuff like that. That's bad judgment. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
Amen. Well, that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, judgment. And I want you to look here in Genesis chapter 18, and I want you to, start about verse number 16. It says, the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now the Lord's about to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. He's going to destroy those nations. Now that's judgment in a way. You understand, when God brings fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah, that's judgment. That's physical judgment. So look what he said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation? And all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him. Abraham was the friend of God. Amen. I wish we all could be that way, the friend of God. But the Lord says about Abraham, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So the Lord says that Abraham's going to teach his children to do justice and judgment. And when he does, the Lord's going to be able to keep his promises towards him. Yeah. Hey, you ever read a peculiar, you know we're saved by grace? Yeah. We don't work for our salvation, do we? But you find a peculiar passage of Scripture in the New Testament, and the Lord says this. It almost looks like work salvation, but it's not. But he says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And what's the result? I'll be a father to you. Now, the Lord's my father because I've been born again. But the Lord says, if you'll come out from among them, I'll be a father to you. And then the very next chapter starts off and says, seeing we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves. Well, I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But the concept behind you being separate and then the Lord being your father is the very same as the prodigal son. When the prodigal son was in the far country living riotous life, the father was still his father. When he was in the hog pen eating with the hogs, the father was still his father. But he didn't have the benefits of his father. Amen? So what we want to do is we don't want to have bad judgment like the prodigal son. We want to have good judgment. We want to judge righteous judgment. And we want to live under the benefits of having God as our Father. Amen? And so that's what I want to talk to you about, this judgment. He said about Abraham here, he said, he'll teach his children to do justice. That's what God's about to do on Sodom and Gomorrah. Justice. Justice. He said, and judgment. Judgment. Justice and judgment. Let's pray. Lord, thank you now for your goodness and for your mercy. Amen. And I pray, God, you'd help us here just for a little bit. God, help me to go through these verses and explain them like they ought to be explained. And I pray, God, you'd touch a heart, God, to help us, Lord, to basically just think about things before we do it and help us and strengthen us in our Christian life. And I'll thank you and praise you for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, turn real quick over to the book of Exodus, and we're going to go through a few verses of Scripture. Amen. I recommend Bible when you're preaching. I recommend Bible when you're living your daily Christian life. Bible. Amen. Exodus chapter 12, and look at verse number 12. Now, this is judgment right here. This, just like it was judgment when God rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah, this is judgment right here. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So the Lord is going to execute judgment. Now, I want you to recognize the difference between two things. I can look at drugs, I can look at alcohol, I can look at a woman that's not my wife, and I can either have the judgment to leave them alone, or I can have the lack of judgment to mess with them.
That's right.
Amen? Now, after I've got bad judgment, I'm likely to have bad judgment from on high. Amen? The men of Sodom and Gomorrah was exceedingly wicked. The men in Noah's day, the Bible said their wickedness went up before God. The Lord was angry. The Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day.
Yeah.
And so what happens is God comes down. After men have bad judgment, God comes down and he executes his judgment. He executes his judgment. Now, there's an illustration of that. If you'll look over in Matthew chapter 7, I want to just show you something real quick tonight that I believe will help you before you make your next mistake.
Amen.
I said your next mistake.
Amen.
Because I done made a couple today, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Boy, we're prone to mistakes, ain't we? When I read my Bible and I see all the stuff that you can do wrong in there, I feel kind of bad. You ever read the book of Proverbs? To me, the book of Proverbs, it's a wisdom book, by the way. But I get under more conviction out of the book of Proverbs than any other book in the Bible. You say, why? Because I'm simple and I'm a fool. And you can call me either one you want to. It don't bother me none, because I read it and I see all the things that I could possibly do wrong. I say, well, I done that one. I done that one too. I done that one too. I done that. So I get under conviction when I read my Bible. But you know, there's also a great consolation. You know, when it's your birthday, you get a birthday card, make you feel good. You feel bad about being older for just a minute, then you get a birthday. Everybody loves me still. I'm old, but people love me still. And you break your leg and you feel bad about that, and people come see you and pat you on the back and say it's going to be all right. Consolation, amen? Well, when I look at how wounded I am as far as being a sinner, when I look in my Bible, I don't just find judgment against me, but I also find consolation against me. The greatest preacher in the New Testament outside of Jesus Christ said, I am the chief of sinners.
Amen.
And you take that and you say, well, that's just Paul being like a Christian. You know how Christians are. A Christian, a Baptist, let's use Baptist instead of Christian. A Baptist will stand up during the church service and say, preacher, let me testify. I'm so unworthy of God's grace. I'm the wickedest of the wickedest of the wickedest. You ever heard anybody give a testimony like that?
Yeah.
I'm a worm.
Yeah.
But then when the preacher gets up and says, you're a worm, that same fellow that done testified what a worm he is moves his membership down the road. I thought you was a worm. So when Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners, he said Jesus Christ died to save sinners of whom I am chief. That was not a Baptist testimony.
Right.
You ever read Romans chapter 7? Romans chapter 7 ought to be the saved sinner's favorite verse. You know what Paul says? He says, that which I hate, I do that. I don't know why Christians don't spend more time. I mean, if you're saved and you love the Lord, and you're not trying to get out, you're trying to stay in, but you keep messing up, I recommend Romans 7 to you, because Paul said, the things I hate, I do those. I'm not talking about some incidental Christian. I'm talking about the Christian that God chose to give you all the church age books that you got, everything you know about the church, everything you know about church age doctrine, you got it from Paul, and God used the chief of sinners to do that.
Yeah, right.
Amen. So I get consolation from the Word of God. I find all sorts of things in the Word. The Word of God help you make it through, amen, even if you got bad judgment, like some of us do. You can speak for yourself. I speak for myself. I find myself not being the best of judges. Matthew chapter 7, I told you in verse number 1, this is, I think, maybe the backslidden Christian's favorite verse. And some preachers I've seen on Facebook. Judge not that ye be not judged. Well, you know, that's not talking about the judgment of just looking at a thing and saying, well, this is sinful and this is not sinful. See, that's judgment. The Bible says judge righteous judgment. You ought to go through everything in your life and say, well, here, I got this thing here. Is this good or bad? And pray about it and look it up in your Bible. That's judgment. Now, see, when that verse is talking about, it's not talking about a preacher standing up and saying, now that drink is wrong. Now that laying out of church is wrong. See, he's judging whether a thing is right or wrong. Now, when he says, judge not that you be not judged, he's talking about, Brother, I'm going to use Brother Ron as an example because I think he can handle it. Now, Brother Ron, you laid out of church last Sunday night, and you need to come up here, and we're going to pass judgment on you. Well, if we'd done that, we'd have about 3 people in church next week, wouldn't we? When God judged Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts, nobody else joined that church. Amen. That's probably why people don't judge one another that way. But if you go over the book of Corinthians, the Bible said if you're going to judge somebody like that, he said, let the least esteemed. If 2 brothers have a problem with one another, he said, let the least, he didn't say the least spiritual. He said, let the least esteemed. So that's what he's talking about here. He says, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So that means if you say, well, bless God, I ain't talking to you no more because you didn't wear the right kind of clothes to church. Well, you're taking physical judgment. You're physically judging somebody that way. You're not saying, well, should he lay out of church? No, he shouldn't. That's good judgment. Amen? Should she wear good clothing? Should she be decent? Should she be modest? Yes, she should. That's just good judgment. Now, I ain't never talking to you or praying for you no more because you're immodest. Now you're physically judging somebody. I'll give you a good example that everybody in the church can relate to. How many of you have ever had to say this? I just wish they'd quit talking about me. You ever had somebody talk about you? Huh? Have you ever? Just got so frustrated at these Baptists that won't mind their own business. They're always talking about you. I mean, every time you do something wrong, there's somebody there to say something about it. You ever been in that predicament? You know somebody that's like that, always talk. Well, you know, that they're probably talking about you that way because you talked about somebody else. See, it says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And he said, with what judgment you judge, it's going to be judged to you that way. He said, you measure it out, it's going to be measured back to you just like that. Amen. So that's the way it is. I mean, preachers are the world's worst at that. Hey, did you hear what brother so-and-so did? You know, he resigned that church, but really what it is, he's probably stealing or messing around. And just on and on and on and on and on it goes. And then next thing you know, you'll be mad because some brother's spreading rumors about you. Well, you deserve that. You judge somebody else. You started running your mouth. Now somebody's running their mouth about you.
Yeah.
Amen. Or you got hard-hearted towards somebody. And then when you need compassion, people gave you a hard heart right back.
Amen.
So you got to be careful when you start issuing physical judgment out to somebody.
Right.
Amen. Because that could be dangerous for you. But while that can be a dangerous thing, sometimes, like I say, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says sometimes it has to be that way, so let the least esteemed do the judging.
Amen.
Well, you let the least esteemed, and I can think of one or two people in here, I can think of one or two people back home in our church, well, if we had to have some kind of judgment, I know exactly who to go to because they're spiritual, but everybody's not the most popular, see, the least esteemed. If they, if everybody's not their buddy, then they're not likely to be biased about the thing. You see that? So you stay away from the judgmental stuff, amen? You see something going on in the church, you pray about it. Ask God to help. And ask God to let the overseer of the church take care of it. Amen? And I guarantee you, you don't want that job. Oh, I'd like to be the pastor. I'd like to be the preacher. And I'd like to drive around the easy car. And I'd like to have the easy job. And I'd like to just sit up here and point at what to do next. And I could say all the witty things.
Amen.
It's hard to say them witty things, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I tell you what, it's not as easy a job as you think about. And then I tell you what, you got to live with the consequences of those judgments that you judge.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That action that you... that you let get out of your mouth or get out of your hand, it's a very weighty thing, amen?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, putting that aside, what you need is some good, let me just tell you this. Judgment is the difference between understanding and knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you start studying your Bible before too long, you're going to say, well, what is knowledge? And what is judgment? And what is understanding? Well, judgment is the difference between just knowledge and understanding. Now, here's what you do. When I come to you to witness to you to get you saved, or when I come to you to talk to you about a thing, I used to knock on somebody's door and I say, you know the wages of sin is death, don't you? Oh, yeah. And you know the Bible is true, don't you? Yes, sir. I know it. And you know you ought not be drinking that beer, right? Because, I've went to visit some folks down there where I live, knock on their door, and they come to the door, and they got purple hair. And the smell of pot comes rolling out the door when you, and oh, I come to tell you about Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that. There's that judgmental thing, amen? Just, you know, a tree bites fruit. Smoking dope, probably not in love with the Lord. Amen? But I say, now look here, you know this stuff's going to kill you, right? I mean, all this stuff you're doing, it's going to kill you dead. Oh, I know. See, somebody, some preacher or some grandmother or some Sunday school teacher got them in the corner somewhere and said, look, Noah's Ark, God killed all the sinners. You're a sinner. We're all a sinner. And everybody's got the same information. Hey, you know the wages of sin is death, don't you? Yes, sir, I know it. And then sin walks by. And people just, you say, well, if they knew the wages of sin is death, why did they follow it that fast? I mean, no sooner than it's out of your mouth. I know the wages of sin is death. No sooner than it's out of your mouth, you're on that keyboard.
Right.
Ooh, look at her. You know that her. Let's park right there just a second. The book of Proverbs is full of that her. Hell's at her house. Death is at her house. And the Bible says that she is out there trying to catch the simple one. Come on. And it's like she put a ring in his nose. Christian, get a Bible under his arm. I'm going to Bible school. I'm going right to Bible school. Preacher, I want to help you out in the church. Lord, have mercy. Look at, and probably girls are the same way. I'm not going to say nothing about what girls do because I'm not a girl. I'm nothing kin to a girl. I don't have any feminine side whatsoever. I don't know how girls think. I just don't know. But I know about you men.
Amen.
You say, what's the problem? Lack of judgment.
Yeah.
Remember we was talking about the greater good a while ago? Well, here's how knowledge and wisdom and understanding and judgment all work together. If you've got in your mind that the greater good is to do nothing but please the Lord, then when that temptation walks by, judgment says, what am I going to get if I keep looking? That's the difference between David cutting off Goliath's head and going next door to visit his neighbor's wife. The difference is that pause between the urge to do it, because I'm going to promise you, the wise and the simple both have the urge. The wise and the simple, the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, how does the wise die? Just like the fool. Just like the fool. They both die the same way. And the only difference between that wise man that makes good decisions and that fool that makes the bad decisions and goes on to his death is there's no filter, there's no pause button there that he can hit and say, Let's think about what's going to happen. Should I open my mouth? Should I push this button? Should I follow that woman? Should I go after that boy? Should I say something bad about the preacher? Should I say something bad about my brother? Should there's a pause button there. And true judgment that makes you a wise Christian is the ability to hit that thing and say, let me just wait just a minute. It'll keep you out of trouble. It'll keep you out of trouble. And you know what? It's a sad thing, but some people have hit the pause button, said, let me think about it, and then unpaused it and went right ahead. Chose the immediate. And the reason they didn't choose the greater good out there somewhere is because that immediate thing, I can have it right now. I can have this church right now. I can have this woman right now. I can have this money right now. I can have this money right now. I can have this money right now. I can have this, usually money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, so that's going to be a big part of it right there. Amen? You got to take it and say, Lord, hey, I recommend you not only think about it when you got the pause button on, but pray. Lord, help me. Let me see what the Bible says about this. Hey, preacher, I hope you don't mind me calling you at 2:30 in the morning, but boy, I need... What are you even doing up at 2:30 in the morning? Bad judgment, I guess, preacher, but would you mind talking? Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah,
right. Judgment. And I tell you what, you know what the Bible says? This is a great verse. It's a great quotation from the Bible. The Bible said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Amen.
Amen. Now here's the, it's a whole lot more fun. You can do it two ways. But it's a whole lot more fun to judge yourself before you do it than to judge yourself after. Because after, suppose you like what you did. There's no, I'll just take this one pill and I'll feel better. Suppose you don't get back to the judgmental part until you've taken 50 bottles of pills.
Yeah.
I'll just look at this thing on the internet just one time. Well, suppose you don't get back to the judgment part until you've looked at that computer 5 years,
right.
6 years,
right.
10 years. What? Ain't nobody going to know, and these fellas are just in town for one day, and we'll take a little drink, and suppose you don't get off of that bottle to get back to the judgment. 10 years, 20 years. It's easier to judge yourself before you do it than after. Because I promise you, I've been in both cases where I've done a thing and said, Lord, forgive me for that. Lord, I know I shouldn't have done that. And I know that getting right keeps God from having to get you right. Judging yourself, you're not being judged. But boy, it's a whole lot easier to do it before. You feel a lot better. And say, and you know the Lord done it, but you say, I whooped that one, Lord. I used to pray this way, and I still pray this way from time to time. And I would say, and I would see a thing in my life, and you got them just like I do. And everybody's got those little things that just whoops them time after time after time. And I used to pray this thing, and I'd say, Lord, let me win one time. Let me win one time. Lord, I don't want to regret that thing again.
Yeah.
Just, well, I did it again. You say, well, Lord's going to get tired of that one of these days, and he's going to bust you in the head over that thing. He may do it.
Yeah.
Simon Peter come to the Lord and said, how many times I got to forgive my these people that's trespassing against me? Till 7 times?
Yeah.
And the Lord said, how about 70 times 7? I don't know my math pretty good, but I think it's around 490 or something like that. Can you imagine Brother Rowe messing up 490 times in one day and still having the gumption to go back and say, Lord, I've done this 400 times today, but would you forgive me? Now, you don't think God would tell Simon Peter to do something he wasn't willing to do in the forgiveness area. We got a forgiving God.
Amen.
We got a loving God.
Right,
a God that will judge us. But a God that would rather that we judge ourselves.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He'd rather we judge ourselves. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness. Help us to take these couple of little scriptures here and apply it to our lives, because you are a judgmental God. Lord, you will judge us. But Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a tender heart towards you, to where when we get off in left field someplace and we're not exactly where we ought to be, help us to stop a minute and pray about it and call a friend or ask somebody or read the Bible about it, and Lord, help us. And I believe that's what you meant when you told your people to pray, deliver us from evil. And I believe that deliverance is going to come right there in that little space, God, of judgment. And Lord, you said you'd make a way for us to escape when our temptations come. You said we've all been tempted just alike, but Lord, you said that you was faithful and would not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able, and will with the temptation make a way to escape. And I believe with all my heart that the Word of God is the way to escape. Judgment in our own hearts is a way to escape. And I pray, oh God, you'd help us to stop waiting for this mystical, magical religion to come out of the sky and help us not do things bad anymore, but help us to take the Word of God and hide it in our heart, and that we'd be able to, Lord, apply the Scripture to our life and get the victories that we're so desperately looking for in this day and age. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.